You know, Jonathan, sometimes things just aren't easy. I mean, you have to take on the Ravens in a heck of a game, then you have the Colts, and it just couldn't be a nice, quiet couple of weeks getting ready for the Super Bowl, the seventh appearance for the Kraft family, and we have the air pressure in the ball situation. And this has been sliced a million different ways, but we're going to give you an opportunity to state your piece and what you have to say about it.
I don't think there's a whole lot more to talk about it. This is going to be so exciting today on the field. I think Bill and Tom, the first week, Bill a couple times, I think really laid it out well. And I think when we got to Arizona, I think Robert really laid it out strongly and well. And that ultimately, the league, whenever they believe there could be a violation of the rules of the game, is going to investigate. And we think they should, whether it's us or anybody else, they should. I think that the one element of what's taken place over the last 2 weeks is, you know, we learn about it through the media. Then the league sends a letter. And I think from our perspective, we just wish that the discussion and the discourse around whatever took place could be based on fact rather than leaks. I think we feel very strongly in our position, but the league will conduct their investigation and we'll see.
Do you think it should take this long, though? Because Roger said, you know, it's ongoing. Are you guys comfortable with that? Would you rather have it wrapped up before the game or after the game?
Look, you'd rather have any time you're dealing with something that's not in your direct line of focus, you'd obviously like things like that to be done quickly, but can appreciate the fact that the league wants to do things in a thorough and detailed manner. And at a high level, macro level for the league, I think all investigations should be that way. But on Friday, I think when Roger framed the first time really a league official, I guess Dean Blandino talked on Thursday.
He did,
and
yeah.
I didn't hear his remarks. I heard about some of the things he said, which were interesting. But I think Roger really was the first time somebody spoke about the investigation. And he really said, as I understand it, listening to him, because I did listen to his comments, he said there were two things that were driving the investigation. Why were some of the footballs not in compliance with the NFL rules? And was that lack of compliance due to the result of deliberate actions? We don't believe, based on what we know, that the latter is true, but they'll conduct the investigation.
This hasn't sucked any of the joy out of number seven here, has it?
No, I think for Tom in particular,
he took it hard.
Who's as high grade of a person as you're ever going to find. I think a week ago for the first couple days, I think he was totally blindsided by this, which should speak to
the way people reacted, because this organization has a pretty high success rate.
Yeah, and so you feel for Tom, but I think, and I think Robert said this at Media Day too, or someone asked him, and I think aside from Tom, I think, and some time that Bill had to take just dealing with it, I don't think it affects Bill emotionally or mentally. But I think since we've gotten Arizona, it's been great. It actually feels very different than the 07 game. And you and I spoke about that when I was on the air with you, Gresh,
sure,
and Zoe earlier in the week. We spoke about that, and I think it has a different feel to it. And we've had a great week here in Arizona, and it's our seventh Super Bowl in 21 years. But I can tell you, it never gets old. You want to do it every single year.
You and I, after one of our sideline chats, said it was Cincinnati, and there was an uneasy feeling. I'll never forget that, because in doing this in 10 years, there have been very few times where it's, I don't know what the response is going to be here. And you and I talked privately real quick and shared a thought or two, and then they went out and they smacked Cincinnati, and then it was kind of like off to the races. Every team is different. When did you, or maybe in the organization, because that game you saw, okay, hey, they got a little something here, and then they went on the run. But what was that line of demarcation where you try to build a Super Bowl winner every year, but when you really could look at other people and say, okay, this is happening. What happened the first 4 weeks was an anomaly.
First off, I think with any Bill Belichick coach team, anything that happens in the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season,
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And I've personally seen too much of Bill building and experimenting and doing. Clearly, Kansas City was a low point. If you were to ask me personally which game, Cincinnati was important from a public perception standpoint.
Yep.
I agree with you completely. I think the game, though, for me, where said, yeah, this is going to be a year we have a chance to compete, because, you know, training camp, yeah, we're going to compete. Everyone says that. But when you get into the season and you have it, I think it was probably the Detroit game. I think when Detroit's defense, I mean, they came in, that was a real defense. They were number one or two in the league in defense. And, you know, in quotes, the type of defense that we historically haven't had as much success against as other types of defenses. And we hung a lot of points on that defense. And at the same time, we also controlled a guy who is arguably, I would say, is the best receiver in the game. And when you're able to do those two things, you know, you say to yourself after that game, hey, we're a decent football team, and maybe we got as good of a shot as the top 10 teams in the league to go give this thing a run.
Every team has its own personality. What is it about this particular group that you're either drawn to, intrigued by, or really like about this version of the New England Patriots?
There's a lot in that.
Because it's a different kind of group. I mean, Browner's an edge setter. Revis, I mean, Darrell's a way different guy than I thought he was. You got Gronk, and Brady is as driven as ever.
Look, Tom's so driven and focused. People just don't get it with him. He's the best ever, period. I don't care. He's been to six Super Bowls in the salary cap era. Just stop. You know, anybody that wants to
with
say
different players
with different casts of characters, different OCs. I'm not interested in listening to anybody else. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, regardless of what happens today on the field. He is the greatest quarterback to play the game. There are 32 teams in the league. There is a salary cap. There's unfettered free agency. In this era of football, no one has come close to the total resume. So Tom's the greatest quarterback to play the game, period, hands down. In my opinion, there have been some other great ones, but nobody who's achieved it when the competition is what it is right now. So I think you put that aside with him. I think what's great about this team, it reminds me a little bit of the early Bill teams when he'd bring in Pfeiffer or Anthony Pleasant or Brian Cox, guys he knew. Now, he didn't know Brandon and he didn't know Darrell. I mean, he knew them as competitors, but he had never coached them before. But adding those guys into the mix and getting LeGarrette back, which was kind of like getting a free agent. You got these guys that just fit into our system well, and they're hard.
Akeem Ayers,
just hardworking football players. Clearly, Darrell is at the pinnacle.
Easily,
but
he's
extraordinary, and everybody would agree with that. But he isn't the guy that I think Patriot fans probably thought he was when he was at the Jets, meaning you knew what kind of player he was, but as a person, he's not like that at all. He's a gentleman.
He really is.
He's a gentleman.
He just likes money, which we can't hold that against him.
Who doesn't?
Can't hold him against him.
When you're a football player
and you're the best
and you do what you do, no one can begrudge you what you want to do on that front.
Yeah, he's the best.
People are driven by different things at that point, but you can't begrudge anybody. He has been awesome.
Tremendous.
Awesome.
Can you share anything? It was a report about maybe a pickup the option. I don't know.
Let's get through today. Let's enjoy this game and hopefully come out with a victory. And we all know that regardless of the outcome today, the offseason will start quick. If we're lucky enough to win this, maybe we'll get an extra 24 or 48 hours at the back end, and everybody can bask in the glory for a minute. But we need to go out and get this one today. These last two, just they're not good.
Now, you know, when you were talking about how Bill, he adjusts over the first four games, and a lot of teams have to now because of the training camp rules, I think – he should get coach of the year. He won't for obvious reasons because, you know, he's expected
to
do
this. He's too good.
He's too good. But here's my point, Jonathan, where I think it is even more dramatic. I thought, Gresh, help me out on this, especially in the offensive line. Over the first four games, they had a certain strategy. I mean, you were talking about Devy, talking about Klein. Didn't know if Stork was going to be able to play. To me, Stork is like the story of the season. Hightower was coming back, Jamie Collins, but they changed. I mean, Bill threw a lot of stuff out. He put in Stork, he put in Wendell, he got Conley, he readjusted. Hightower had to take over for Mayo. Hightower last year learned the position. This year, he's played it like an all-pro. So a lot of coaches don't change. To me, the job Bill did this year is one. It's probably equivalent to 0-1.
But let me just jump in, because this is where Jonathan can talk to it. It starts with the autonomy he's earned to not only do things like that, but also trade Logan Mankins, go get Tim Wright, go get Jonathan Casillas, go get Akeem Ayers, yeah, and handle business as he sees fit. And there are not a lot of people who work in the National Football League or anywhere who have the ability to do that. And it starts with the way you've set things up.
It's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. Other coaches who aren't as secure aren't able to do what Bill does.
Like, he doesn't have right. to call and you or no, Robert and say, no, hey, I'm going to trade for Akeem Ayers.
No,
you know what I mean?
He'll call and tell us he's doing it, you
right.
know, and say.
So you're in the loop.
And here's what, look, if Akeem Ayers was going to be $15 or $20 million
well,
under the
different.
Cap,
of course.
You have a
yeah,
conversation. Right. But otherwise, he's working that stuff. It's a total waste of our time. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
And I have to tell you, anybody in an ownership position around the league, unless you were Al Davis or Paul Brown or somebody like that, when you're talking about the hardcore football elements of this, it's a waste of time and energy. It really is. But if when a guy feels secure, you don't care about winning September. You want him to take September and October. You don't want to dig yourself into a huge hole, but you want him taking September and October, figuring out everything that he has, and trying to really finalize that 53. You know you're always going to use the 53 plus the 10 on your
right.
practice squad.
It's really 63.
It's 63 these days because so few people are jumping to other teams' practice squads once you get a few weeks. It doesn't work. And Bill utilizes that 63-man bucket of assets
right.
better than anybody, and to put himself and our team in a position so that we can be playing in games like today. And it's about December and January. It's not about September and October. But look, if you're a guy, you're a new head coach, or you're feeling the pressure of a bad season or two, and you got a GM that's trying to save his butt somewhere else too, all of a sudden, hey, he can't coach my players, or hey, he doesn't give me the players to coach. And then they're each whispering in an owner's ear. And look, owners, unless you've been in the league a long, long time, and even then, unless you're putting huge amount of time and energy in, you it's not what your profession is.
Right.
Well, we've done, and I counted this the other day,
yes,
all of us together.
Yes,
218 of these.
Are wow. you serious?
Over 10 years. Well,
wow.
Preseason, so yeah, 20 yeah. times 10,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
and then
sick.
Add those playoff games. It's
are you going to cry?
It's like 218 times that we've said this, but only the third time that you and I get to say, "Good luck in the Super Bowl."
Yes,
it's pretty awesome. It's cool. It's been a lot of fun.
Let's go bring it on the field, and hopefully I have a chance to give each of you a victory hug in about 4.5 hours.
I'm a great hugger.
As opposed to a consolation hug.
That's true.
The victory hug feels so much better.
Victory hug's great. We haven't done – now, that's the thing, is that we've done like 218 of these together. Haven't had one of those for a Super Bowl. It's damn time.
We're going to hope that the football gods are with us today. I've seen so many of our fans. I would just close by saying all over the city, just a huge amount of Patriot fans, and it's not easy to make the trip, and with the snowstorm, it's even harder. So just thank you for making the trip today, and this team's focused.